It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast, the Ministry of Torso, Times of Refreshing, Simplicity of Eden Ministry. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Good morning. Let's pray. Eternal Father in heaven, loving Lord, we thank you for given us a loving watch, care, protection last night as we are now in another day of creation that you have granted upon us. We ask that your spirit would be with us as we open up your word this morning. We pray that you will anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and as always, help us to grow in grace and in wisdom as we draw nigh to you. These things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song, it's about time for the coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about it's about time.
the title of our message today, brothers and sisters, is Curiosity Kills a Fact. Curiosity kills a fact, as if to say that a fact. We're going to pray at this time. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for the word of God. We thank you for bringing us together. We ask that you will speak to us, through us, and may you be the center of our joy. May your word be a treasure that we would place as a higher priority than life itself. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Curiosity kills. That's fact. Brothers and sisters, we're studying Genesis chapter 34, and it begins by saying, "And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land." Now, what's so strange about that? Why is that a bad thing? Well, the daughters of the land, brothers and sisters, were into idolatry, and they were heathen. And so this is God's people wanting to be familiar with the ways of the world, being curious, wanting to know what's out there. What am I missing? I want to bring out something that is, you won't find this phrase in the Bible. It's called generational curses, but you do see the principle there. We know that there are hereditary tendencies, things we pick up from our parents or grandparents, and we can break generational curses, brothers and sisters, if somebody would just submit. Now, keep in mind, Leah was the one who conspired with her father and created and performed an immoral act. Jacob had worked 7 years for Rachel, and Leah went in and slept with him to be his wife. Deception, sexual perversion, all of that, friends. And we're going to see the same thing was passed on to her daughter. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. Now, some people say, oh, she was raped. No, she wasn't. And I'll be able to prove that before this is over. She did not apparently resist, and this was not something that was forced upon her. We'll see that as we read on. But before I go any further, I want to share some principles with you, brothers and sisters. It's our decision sometimes to be like the world, to want to the world to accept us, to want not to be unpopular to the world. Now, we don't have to do things unnecessarily to create friction between us and the world, but when it comes to God's principles and God's standards, and we should want to fellowship to bring people closer to Christ. We shouldn't just want to hang out with the ungodly. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2, it says, "Learn not the way of the heathen." Let me go ahead and go there. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." So, brothers and sisters, we have to be careful what we set before our eyes, what we allow our ears to hear, because we don't want to get familiar with the ways of the world. David said, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." And then it goes on to say in one of the Spirit of Prophecy references, it says, "The apostle sought to teach the believers how important it is to keep the mind from wandering to forbidden themes or from spending its energies on trifling subjects. Those who would not fall prey to Satan's devices must guard well the avenues of the soul. They must avoid reading, seeing, or hearing that which will suggest impure thoughts. The mind must not be left to dwell at random upon every subject that the enemy of souls suggests. The heart must be faithfully sentineled, or evils without will awaken evils within, and the soul will wander in darkness. Gird up the loins of your mind, Peter wrote. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That comes from Acts of the Apostles, page 518. Wonderful encouragement to be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a Father up above, and he's looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. My brothers and sisters, the devil used the five senses when he tempted Eve, and our curiosity kills. That's a fact. Okay, so we want to make sure that we don't just want to feel like we need to know what's out there in the world. We should want to know what we will gain through eternal life in heaven and start searching for that with all diligence even now. All right, let's go back, brothers and sisters, to Genesis 34. Dinah went out to see the daughters. She ended up sleeping with someone. And then in verse 3, and his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. That's not what usually happens. That's not what happens when someone is raped, brothers and sisters. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field where they heard it. And the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. And Hamor communed with them, saying, and I want you all to see, when you see the jealousy, the treachery, the dishonesty, the murder, the just the evil that was wrought, all from curiosity with the world. So that's where it all started, brothers and sisters. If Dinah had said, no, I'm going to stay with those who want to follow God, I don't have any interest in learning the ways of the heathen, she would not have caused, or it's not that she forced her brothers to be angry and vengeful and do some things they ought not do. But it's interesting how little acts can cause great harm because they can start a tidal wave. And it's very, very important that we understand that. Let me read something to you. It says, just so you know, that God does see the beginning of this treacherous act that's about to happen as being this young lady's decision to be like the world. The beginning that led to results so terrible was the act of Jacob's daughter, who went out to see the daughters of the land, thus venturing into association with the ungodly. He who seeks pleasure among those that fear not God is placing himself on Satan's ground and inviting his temptation. So, brothers and sisters, don't get on Satan's enchanting ground. You're inviting temptations. And this horrible crime that we're about to read about came as the result of her act and her brother's anger because of what the gentleman did with their sister. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved and very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not be done. And Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you give her him to wife, and make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. So in other words, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I believe 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath light with darkness? What communion hath light with darkness? So on and so forth. I don't have it exactly correctly. And let me just go ahead and read it then. Let me just make sure I get it right. 2 Corinthians 6:14. The Bible says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean you're better than anybody else, but if you've chosen to follow God, those who you associate with will either bring you closer to God or will take you further from God. So I choose, brothers and sisters, to associate myself with people that are godly by the grace of God. Amen? And that doesn't mean that I can't reach out, witness, help those who may not know the Lord. But when we just talk about hanging out, just to be imbibing what everybody else wants to talk about and say, we should avoid those who are not following the Lord, my friends, because it will take our minds and then our actions and our words in a direction which is not good. All right. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye say unto me, but give me the damsel to wife. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully, and said, because he hath defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said unto them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. But in this we consent unto you, if you will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised. Then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters unto us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if ye will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter, and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do this thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter. And he was more honorable than all the house of his father. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came unto the gate of their city and communed with the men of their city, saying, these men are peaceable with us. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them for our daughters. Only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. So, friends, that's why it's so important to be connected with the Holy Spirit. Somebody might ask you to do something, and they might mean your downfall. And because you think it's a good thing, because you can maybe have associations with them, and they could be in the church. So when somebody asks you to do something, make sure you pray and seek God. And if you're uncomfortable about it, you might not know why, but just listen to the Spirit of God as he tells you, because they may be plotting your destruction. And these were God's people. One of them was Levi. We're going to see is going to be one of the main people. And Levi, his offspring were the priests. Only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. See, these were people of the world, but they had morals in a certain level. They didn't have a problem fornicating. That was just what they did. But they weren't trying to be treacherous. They were thinking that they could be enriched by the cattle that the others had, and they could share their cattle, they could share their wives, and not share their wives, they could get wives of Jacob's children, and so on and so forth. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. You see, that was so evil. Even if they were going to kill the one who slept with their sister, that would be bad enough because she was a willing participant. However, for them to kill every man, I mean, brothers and sisters, there is nothing new under the sun. It was in the church that they had mass slayings. We have mass shootings today. Whole city, all the men in the city. You won't ever find that among the white supremacists or white supremacists or whatever other groups that just go for whatever for show and do mass shootings. They don't kill all the men in the city. God's people have done some horrible things, brothers and sisters, and yet God's hand is stretched out still. So God can save to the uttermost, but it's showing here that we need to be wise. We need to be careful. You need to listen to the Lord as he speaks because he will guide you. And just because somebody has a cloak of honor, a cloak of religiosity, that doesn't mean that you should listen to them. Study for yourself. Pray. Seek God for yourself. And listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants of all of us. We have too many people that will listen to a man just because he's a pastor, or a woman because she's a pastor. No, you listen, but you take it to the Lord in prayer. I don't have a problem with you taking it to the Lord in prayer, because I'm not going to tell you, by the grace of God, knowingly tell you to do anything that hurts you. And I have no problem being like, who was it? Jethro. He said to Moses, I'm telling you what to do in Genesis 18. But if God tells you so, it'll be a blessing to you. He gave him good counsel, but he recognized that Moses needed to know that God was with this counsel. And so, my brothers and sisters, that's how we should do it today. And that's how things should be done in accordance with God's perfect plan and his perfect will. All right, my friends, God is good. I'm just going to plug something in real quickly. I guess that's not going to work. Okay. We're going to keep reading. And they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. And the sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field and all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took their captive and spoiled all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, ye have troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed in my house. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with an harlot? She was not forced, brothers and sisters. She was induced. Maybe he promised her some extra jewelry and this and that and what he would do for her and take care of her. And she fell into that trap of, because she wanted what he had, because the brothers themselves said she was dealt with as a man deals with a harlot. She was not raped, my brothers and sisters. She was a willing participant. And so I'm here to tell you that let's stay in the Lord and let's stay connected with God's people. Let's not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It does not bring happiness. It does not bring joy. And brothers and sisters, Simeon and Levi paid dearly for that. They weren't blessed by Jacob. They were cursed by Jacob. And, you know, they were challenged in their lifetime because of this treacherous act. So revenge is of the Lord, friends. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So we need not be angry and bitter and, you know, all that, those negative emotions that we often have that shouldn't be among us, my friends. May God bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Curiosity kills that. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you very much for this day. And as we begin our day with you, we pray for the Holy Spirit to be with us. We've learned the importance of listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and learning to pray ourselves and not rely on those who are even leaders in the church to be the last word in our lives. We ask that you would bless us now. Keep us in your perfect will. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my friends, it's time now to transition to wellness in the worship and wellness broadcast. We'll be back to hear a message entitled Under the Microscope from Sister Lenny. At this time, we will have our torso song.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed. by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know. God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
We'll now hear from Sister Lenny under the microscope.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Under the microscope, persons who have inherited an appetite for unnatural stimulants should by no means have wine, beer, cider in their sight or within their reach, for this keeps the temptation constantly before them. Regarding sweet cider as harmless, many have no scruples in purchasing it freely, but it remains sweet for a short time only, then fermentation begins. The sharp taste which it then acquires makes it all the more acceptable to many palates, and the user is loath to admit that it has become hard or fermented. There is danger to health in the use of even sweet cider as an ordinarily produced. If people could see what the microscope reveals in regard to the cider they buy, few would be willing to drink it. Often, those who manufacture cider for the market are not careful as to the condition of the fruit used, and the juice of wormy and decayed apples is expressed. Those who would not think of using the poisonous rotten apples in any other way will drink the cider made from them and call it a luxury. But the microscope shows that even when fresh from the press, this pleasant beverage is wholly unfit for use. Intoxication is just as real produced by wine, beer, and cider as by stronger drinks. The use of these drinks awakens the taste for those that are stronger, and thus the liquor habit is established. Moderate drinking is the school in which men are educated for the drunkard's career. Yet so insidious is the work of these milder stimulants that the highway to drunkenness is entered before the victim even suspects his danger. This morning, this reading is coming from Councils on Diet and Foods, page 436. Let's keep these kinds of things out of our lives so that our bodies will be better fit for Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may you always know that Jesus loves you so. God bless you.
Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. We're looking forward to also hearing from Sister Donna on tomorrow. She'll be sharing a health message on tomorrow. God bless you, friends. It's time now for us to open the phone lines. If you have a comment or question, please go ahead and press star 6. We'll start with roll call on Facebook. We have South Carolina. We have Georgia. We have Virginia. And we have the country of Kenya. As far as comments, we have a good morning from Sister Vicky, from Sister Salita as well, and from Brother Brian. And we look forward to, we thank God for that. All right, if anyone has a comment or question, please feel free to press star 6. We've got about 24, 25 minutes to the top of the hour, and the time is yours. You can ask any make any comment, ask any question. We just like you to keep it appropriate. It doesn't even have to be on the subject matter. It could be a Bible health question, or Bible question rather, or a health question. Whatever the Lord leads you to ask, that's what we would like to address. So, who will be first? All right. Saints are quiet this morning. Well, oh, did we do our roll call? I don't think we did from the phone. We have Ohio again. We also have Alabama. We have Pennsylvania. We have Maryland. We have Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Iowa, and we have Georgia on the line. Friends, as God leads you, invite others to join us in the morning, but we also have recordings of this, and for those who have the application on your phone, WhatsApp, we send out a notification that people can click a link to and go listen and watch, because I'm actually on video on Facebook, so you can actually watch the broadcast, at least me, the speaker, while you'll hear others. Is there anyone that has anything you'd like to share? Okay, we've got Sister Leilani. We'll go ahead and take her call at this time. Good morning, Sister Leilani.
Morning. I have a question about hypertension. Is there anything in the herbs that you take for that slows the pulse down?
So we have a formula for hypertension, but I would say that if you have a rapid pulse, you probably want to find the herb motherwort, because you can have a rapid pulse and not have hypertension. So if you had both, I would take the herbal extract for hypertension, and I would try to get some motherwort. Also, try to find out if there's any connection with the thyroid. Sometimes a elevated thyroid level, hyperthyroidism, will lead to, and if that is the case, you want to drink cruciferous juices, eat more cruciferous foods, like we use cabbage juice. It's a wonderful calmer of the elevated thyroid. So even if you don't know that that's the case, if you want to drink maybe 16 ounces of cabbage juice daily and see if your heart rate tends to go down, that's that. Now, when you have hypothyroidism, you want to lower your intake of those goitrogen foods, broccoli and cauliflower, broccoli mainly, and cabbage, that kind of thing. I think cauliflower might be a cruciferous vegetable too, a goitrogen too, but definitely broccoli, even kale, and cabbage. You want to lessen that and not use as much.
Well, my pulse has been slower. It's 58, and it usually stays between 60 and 70. And I've been doing exercising on the rebounder every day, and I know that exercise will make the heart slow, but I haven't done that much exercise that I think that would affect it.
Okay, I misunderstood your question then. So what you're saying is that you're taking herbs for hypertension and you've noticed that your heart rate is slower.
So, yes.
The numbers that you gave, I wouldn't say would be bad numbers, and I'm not sure how healthy you are. I mean, even to have a heart rate, you said it's normally 60?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good heart rate, especially as we get over 50, that's a good heart rate. So it may be that you just have a pretty good, strong heart. But generally speaking, the herb verbs that we have wouldn't necessarily slow the heart down. Now, everybody can react to that differently. Some people may react to hawthorn, and that may, you know, calm or slow down the heart rate. But as a general rule, we still want to look at the thyroid, but look at it from the perspective of could you have hypothyroidism, and then maybe we might want to limit the number of cruciferous vegetables.
Okay, yeah. I don't think the thyroid is a problem because I take that every day.
Got it. Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's right. You like if you are taking a thyroid hormone, you might want to get that checked to see if maybe it can be lessened. Maybe you might be taking a little too much. So that's something you'd have to check with your doctor about.
Okay, and another question about exercise on the rebounder. How much exercise should you be doing daily?
A rebounder is a wonderful piece of exercise equipment. If a person works up to 20 to 30 minutes a day rebounding, that's a really wonderful treatment.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. We'll take Brother Ray at this time. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, everybody. With reference to exercising, if you have no medical limitations and you're in your 60s, north of 65, what should or could your maximum duration and intensity be? And should there or should there not be a limit? I've done a lot of reading and research, and I see the advocation of very high intensity for short periods as allegedly more beneficial than long duration, but far less intensity. Could you elaborate a little bit? Thank you.
You know, a lot of times when you deal with people and information dealing with exercise, sometimes people have different goals. Our goals aren't trying to cause you to be sculptured. And we're not bodybuilders. We're just trying to keep the body healthy. So the bottom line is the most important thing is at any age, don't overdo it. Start and increase slowly in increments. I like to do at least something and get comfortable with something for 2 or 3 days before I increase it. But if you are healthy with no issues, and you have the time, a 6 mile walk, you know, is an awesome thing. That takes about 2 hours. Most of us walk about 3 miles an hour. I know many a senior that does that, and I don't think we need any more than that. But sometimes people might get the equivalent of that just by the time they spend working in the garden. So we can be very active even north of 65, using your phrase. But I really don't have much to say regarding, I mean, I think it's more important that we have sustained so we can just keep strengthening the heart. To me, that's more than this, intense short duration type of exercise. I just think overall health, that's better. But it's nothing wrong with the short duration either. But I just think that, you know, we've got a heart that we want to maintain. And when that wears out, we have a problem. So I just believe that if we can keep the heart rate sustained for longer periods, it's good for the heart. Anything else, my brother?
No, that was it. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, my friends. Well, at this time, there's no one else in the queue. We'll go ahead and turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Of, and she'll take us to the throne of grace.
I just want to make a comment here. With exercise, it's important to keep in mind that the goal is always to do an hour of exercise per day. And that is something that you can work up to. So you can get an hour of exercise in, a good amount of exercise, depending on what you want that exercise to be. Remember to work on your circulation. That's the whole point of exercising, is to keep the circulation going in your body, which helps you to stay healthy and free of disease. So that's what we want to do, is make sure we can work on our circulation, and that's what the exercising will do. 1 hour of exercise per day is the goal to get to. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this time of worship and fellowship. And now we ask that as we go about this day, that your spirit will continue to be with us, guiding us, instructing, directing our lives. Lord, may we do all we can to stay faithful to you. And may we spend time in prayer, spend time asking you for the things that we should be doing in order to maintain our health. We want to be able to work with you, to co-labor with you in these efforts, because we all need to be healed spiritually, mentally, physically, even emotionally. And we ask, Lord, that as we work in these efforts, that you will bless us and that you will show us things that we can do individually to maintain perfect circulation in our bodies in order to be able to be free of disease and sicknesses. We ask that as we hear and study out your word, that your spirit will teach us things where we can grow even deeper and even more into an understanding, gaining that knowledge and wisdom. And we pray that we'll be able to share with others, Lord. May we be faithful to you, and may you always, Lord, continue to guide us, be with us, and help us. And for everyone who is going through anything personal, Lord, trials, tribulations, a lot of perplexities, burdens, we just pray that we can remember that we have a God who we can cast everything onto. And when we do, you will deliver us. We have promised that you will never leave or forsake us, that you will be with us until the end of the world. And may we remember to bring everything to you, never doing things on our own, but always asking you to do them for us. And may we have patience to wait for our God to move. And may we not go before you, Lord. Thank you so much for hearing our prayer this morning. Bless us on this day, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will.